dies on the Food Network, I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the madman, Matt Russell, on AM 1330, The Jolt.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, dishing out the latest buzz on the local restaurant and entertainment scene. And now to help you get ready for the weekend in style, here's your host, Matt Russell.
And an absolutely glorious day here in southern Arizona, where I believe we might have reached close to 100 degrees. It might very well be 100 degrees where I'm sitting here looking at the Catalina Mountains. But hello to all of you across the country, no matter what your weather is. It's Matt Russell here on the menu live from Russell Public Communications. Thanks for tuning in to AM 1330 The Jolt. And as always, a big hello out to all of my foodie friends all across the world who are listening live right now on www.tucsonsjolt.com. Well, as I say every week, if you're not following me on Twitter, you need to be. My Twitter handle is PRCEO. That's public relations, PRCEO, to find out everything that I'm involved in, all the adventures I'm having, what I'm eating, what I'm drinking, who I'm hanging out with. It's a lot of fun. And plus, if you were following me on Twitter, you would know that we've got some giveaways this hour, and not just the trivia question at the end of the show. We've got some great giveaways happening in just a few minutes to celebrate what's going down at the Hotel Congress this Saturday. So you want to do yourself a favor and go on to twitter.com/PRCEO, follow me, and you're going to be the first to know when we've got late-breaking news here on the menu live. We also have some exciting news to report. Since I was in this chair last Thursday, we now, on the menu live, officially have a Facebook fan page. Yes, indeed, we have launched our presence on Facebook. We have become a viral broadcast, and you can become a fan of On the Menu Live simply by going on to facebook.com/onthemenulive. We've only been up for a couple of days. We got well over 100 followers. We're going to be having 100 more by the end of the week, I can tell. And this is the place to tune in and check in as frequently as you can, because we're going to be using our Facebook fan page to announce all of our weekly guests and the locations of our live remote broadcasts and information on restaurant giveaways and all kinds of fun things, photos from remotes. We're going to be talking about our great sponsors that make this broadcast possible. So again, please come on to the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/onthemenulive. We're actually going to be selecting some random fans next week to give away some great restaurant gift certificates too. So that's going to be a lot of fun. As I indicated, this Saturday is the fourth annual Night of New Orleans down at the Hotel Congress from 3 o'clock p.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. And if you've never done this event, this is a must not miss. There's jambalaya, there's boiled shrimp, there's Louisiana beer. My sources tell me that they're going to be rolling in 300 pounds of live Louisiana crawfish just for this event. So you'd want to do yourself a favor and get down there. But just to make things interesting and spice some things up, we thought we'd give away some tickets now because we just got our hands on four tickets to this great event, and we want to be able to send our great listeners who are smart to go to this great event. And we thought, how can we commemorate this event here at the Hotel Congress on Saturday, this Night of New Orleans? We thought we would do a little trivia question relating to the language spoken down in that part of the country. And as everybody knows, the official slogan of Mardi Gras is "Let the good times roll." But I'd like to know if anybody out there in our listening audience knows how they actually say it in French, because they don't just shout, "Let the good times roll," all up and down Bourbon Street. They actually say that in French, and it's poetic, and it rolls off your tongue, and you sound like a foodie when you're going to be doing it. So if you think you know the answer to that question, give us a call right now at 529-3508, 529-3508. Tell me how to say "let the good times roll" in French, and I'm going to give you four tickets to this great event that happens every year down at the Hotel Congress. And so we all want to make sure that you understand that the great music there is going to be the original Wildcat Jazz Band, Tom Walbank, Tony and the Torpedoes, and more. They're going to make you feel like you're walking down Bourbon Street watching a Mardi Gras parade. You got to make sure to bring your Mardi Gras beads. We're going to be having a lot of fun down there. I hope you're going to be joining me, and whoever wins this trivia contest is going to get free admission. Now, just a disclaimer, you're going to have to make some purchases. You're going to have to buy some food and some drinks, but some raffle tickets are going to be there for you to take advantage of, but the admission fee is going to be completely waived for you if you actually have the answer to this question. And it looks like the phones are just lighting up here on the menu live. We're going to go to line number one. Jerry, welcome to On the Menu Live. Jerry, are you with us?
I am here.
Hey, Jerry, where are you calling from?
I'm in Midtown.
You're in Midtown, Tucson. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live. Have you ever been to New Orleans, Jerry?
I have not.
Okay, so you're taking a risk. You think you can do this? I'm waiting to hear you do it in your most authentic French dialect. How do you translate "Let the good times roll" in French, Jerry?
I believe they say "Laissez le bon temps rouler."
Oh, caller number one, Mark, amazing, absolutely
Man,
amazing.
That was huge.
I mean, I thought, okay, am I going to read the English and have him translate it to French, or should I read the French and have him translate it to English? And I thought, it's probably going to be a little bit more of a challenge to get the translation to French. But Jerry, you nailed it.
You have a good audience, man. I don't think you were going too far out on a limb there.
So you've never been to New Orleans. Now, I have to ask you, Jerry, have you ever been to the Night of New Orleans down here, downtown at Hotel Congress?
I have not, but I was hearing you describe it, and I am a big fan of the Louisiana Creole food. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, jambalaya, boiled shrimp, Louisiana beer, 300 pounds of live Louisiana crawfish. All these great authentic musicians going to be down there. It starts at 3 o'clock. It ends at 10 o'clock, and you're going to be having a great time. Now, because it's this Saturday, and we can't rely on the mail to get things to you that quickly, we're just going to go ahead, and Mark is going to get information. We're going to get that all over to the folks there. That'll be ready for you right at the desk. All you got to do is check in, tell them who you are, and you're going to have a blast.
Brilliant. Works for me.
Stay on the phone. Have a great time. Talk to Mark. And thanks, as always, for listening to On the Menu Live. So, wow, doesn't happen very often. We have the first caller call in, and he said it so beautifully. He said it so poetically. He said, "I believe it's laissez les bon temps rouler." And thank you to my good friends at Wikipedia today for letting me know exactly how to pronounce that. I was a Spanish guy in school, not a French guy, so I didn't really know how to pronounce that. But this is going to be a great event. And in addition to all the stuff that's going on there with the food and the authentic drinks and the entertainment, there's also going to be people down there that are going to be helping people make some decisions about how to best support this effort down there on the Gulf with the oil spill. Gina Murphy-Darling, who's one of our favorite people here in this community, was enlisted to help share information with attendees at the event. She's going to be talking about how you can help make donations to the Nature Conservancy, whose volunteers, as I understand it, are in the Gulf now, working around the clock with countless others on the cleanup and restoration of the shorelines. And so there's also going to be some items there for raffle, some gift baskets with items from the Hotel Congress, Maynard's Market. They're going to be sold throughout the evening with all the proceeds going to the Nature Conservancy Gulf Relief Fund. So again, Jerry's going on us, but we certainly want Jerry to mix and mingle with some of his fellow Jolt On the Menu Live fans. So get yourself down to the Hotel Congress this Saturday from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m., the fourth annual Night of New Orleans. It is surely a must-not-miss event. Well, we've arrived once again to one of my absolute favorite moments of the show. Each and every week, we get a chance to hear from this wonderful character in the community who always brings to us such wisdom, such passion, such poetry about wines that we have never heard of. And the fact that you can get them right here in Tucson just fills out that beautiful story more. We're talking to Yvonne Fouché from Catavinos Wine Shop and Tasting Room. Yvonne, welcome back to On the Menu Live.
Aren't you kind, Matt? How are you doing today?
I am doing great. I get the chance to talk about this great New Orleans event that's happening down at the Hotel Congress. And I have to tell you, it's 15 minutes after 5. I'm starving. I'm starving. I mean, I'm going to have to come down there and gobble up some of the artisan cheese that you have
tonight. Yeah, I can help you with the wine and some cheese and crackers, other than that.
So we have everybody across our listening audience tuning in at this time every week because you get to unveil the wine of the week for this week, and you're on. What's up your sleeve this week, Yvonne?
Oh, we have a beautiful, we're moving into the summer months here. So everybody's starting to like to drink things that are a little cooler and crisper, and we have a beautiful Chenin Blanc out of South Africa.
Mm.
Our tasting this weekend is South African wines in honor of the World Cup, which is happening
very nice
in a few weeks. And so we decided that we would showcase a bunch of the wines for those people who are going down there. I do have a few people that are going down there, and they want to see what they're going to be running into.
Right on.
And for anybody who wishes they were going down and just wants to drink wines along with the program. So this is a beautiful Chenin Blanc. This producer is great. They hold the status of one of three wineries in South Africa that have the super Chenin status.
Mm.
So this is no slouch winery. And this winery is beautiful. It's got some green melons on it, some nectarines, got a little bit of honeysuckle. There's some celery salt in there, kind of in the background. It's really broad. It's got a lot of depth to it for a Chenin Blanc. Mm. And as you know, South Africa is pretty famous for their Chenin Blanc.
Indeed.
So this one has, you know, it's just got a lot of flavors going on, and it actually has, you know, for a white wine, it has a more medium-long finish, so it's beautiful, and it's only $11.99.
Oh, my goodness. $11.99 is, for a premium wine, Yvonne Fouché, how can you get away with that?
Exactly. I don't really know. It's just, they come at me, and I'm like, okay, I'll take it.
Hit me with the name of the producer of the winery of the Chenin Blanc.
This is Panu. Panu Chenin Blanc.
Panu Chenin Blanc. Now, talk to us a little bit about, you know, the temperature, the coolness of this particular wine, because, you know, there's I generally sort of gravitate towards the reds, but when I do a sort of a really sort of big and bold Chardonnay, you know, the temptation is to throw it in the refrigerator for far too long and it gets too cold and you really lose that the flavor profiles that you get when it comes up a little bit in temperature.
Correct.
When you're doing the bubbles, of course, I like my champagne and my sparkling as cold as it can possibly be before it turns into ice. Where are you recommending this Chenin Blanc go in terms of temperature?
Well, pardon me. Well, a lot of, you know, the rule of thumb, really, with a lot of white wines, and this would be one of them, is that you chill it down in the refrigerator. By the time you're getting ready to drink it, you pull it out 20 to 30 minutes before you're going to drink it.
Perfect.
That will allow it to heat up just a little bit, but still have that cold edge on it, and you don't bury the flavors in the temperature. It's the same with heat as it is with cold. The colder you make something or the hotter you make something, the less you actually taste the flavors and to taste something at, say, room temperatures where you really get the flavors. Well, this one, it's very similar to other white wines. You pull it out of the fridge 20 minutes at a minimum, half hour, let it warm up a little bit, and now you've got the maximum flavor.
And those flavors just absolutely come alive. And I think this is a great opportunity to challenge the assumptions of those exclusive red drinkers who suggest that there's really not a whole lot of taste going on in white wines. The wines that you've introduced to me over at Catavinos in the white category have completely surprised me. And so that's one of the things that I like about what you're doing over at Catavinos is it's not just providing a great atmosphere and a great community to learn about some wines and to taste some wines and have a little nibble of cheese and have sort of this great after-work environment, but you sort of help challenge assumptions that people have about wine from the moment they walk in your door.
And that's the beauty of the tastings, because I generally try and put in two whites with every tasting, and people kind of turn their nose up, oh, I only do reds. And I'm like, okay, you can dump it. We've got a dump bucket. I can't tell you how many whites I sell just by giving people exposure to them. And so you're not alone in that. There's a lot of people that are discovering that maybe their attitude about white wines isn't fair.
Right.
And that there is an application for them. And think about it. To sit down and drink something that's a little bit chilled on a hot summer day, you know, that just, it's a great patio thing to do. And you're cooling yourself down here. I mean, we have such intense summers here. To have something that's a little bit chilled is kind of quite refreshing.
It really is. And we, you know, my wife and I enjoyed a little bit of white wine out on the patio last night. So we are a manifestation of everything you're talking about in terms of this time of year. So we've got this great Panu Chenin Blanc for only $11.99. That is the wine of the week at Catavinos. Give us a short rundown of some of the other wines that you're going to be showcasing tonight, Friday, and Saturday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Well, we've got a beautiful unoaked Chardonnay. It's great. It's another refreshing wine. We've got a Cabernet. We've got a Pinotage. I've actually got this wonderful Pinotage that I came across, and now you want to talk about a typical South African grape. We're talking Pinotage. Then I've got a blend, Cab Shiraz Merlot, I have two blends, a Frontier, which is Cab Shiraz and Merlot. Different proportions of blending, but they like that kind of blend down there, and these are all out of South Africa, so you're tasting the finest out of South Africa. And you know, South Africa had trouble with their grapes and their wines for quite a while. They've since learned what to do. The Italians came in and said, no, this is what you do. They've straightened them out. They've taught them. Their wines are becoming stellar.
Mm.
So we've got some beautiful stuff down here, and if you don't like something on this list, you'll never like a South African wine.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm so excited to come learn, as I do every time I walk through your door. Again, you're located at 3063 North Alvernon, just a little bit south of Fort Lowell. You've got tastings going on right now as we speak till 8 o'clock, Friday from 4 to 8, Saturday from 4 to 8. And the wine tasting is only $10, and a flight of six wines. And if you buy a bottle of wine, a minimum of one, you can buy a case, as often is the case. Yvonne's going to drop that price down to only $8 for the entire tasting. And I guarantee you, you will meet somebody there at Catavino's tonight, Friday and Saturday, that's going to be on your Christmas card list for the rest of the year. You make lifelong friendships at this great place called Catavino's. Yvonne, thank you for everything that
thank
you do.
Thank you, Matt. You enjoy the rest of your evening.
You do the same. Happy Memorial Day to
thank
you.
Okay, bye.
So we turn the conversation over to the exciting and adventure-filled world of the restaurant industry, and we've got our good friend from Jack's Kitchen, Brian Metzger, on the phone. Brian, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great. So as I understand it, Brian, you are fresh back from the National Restaurant Association annual conference in Chicago. How'd you survive?
I, you know, roughed it out. I kind of put my head down. It was a struggle every day. I woke up with a fresh vision, went for my vision. It was pretty incredible.
Is this your first NRA convention?
It is. You know, my wife and I lived in Chicago for 2.5 years. And while there, we never went to the show because we were working in the restaurant business and it was always crazy busy.
Right.
So to get back again, it's been 5 years since I've been there. It was unbelievable to see, first of all, just the way Chicago's kind of changed for the better. And I loved it in the beginning. And then to see this show, we went with a couple of we were looking for a few things for the restaurant. And to see the professionalism, the types of restaurants there, the length of, you know, the depth of any kind of topic you're looking for was incredible. And it was just really great to see all these people packed in this one place.
That's great. We're going to be talking to you in just a couple of minutes about your, you know, the kinds of restaurant trends that you saw, some of the innovations that you saw. I mean, running a restaurant these days is completely different than it was, you know, 5-6 years ago. But how do you begin to prepare for going to a conference that has this kind of magnitude? I mean, you've got to sort of sit down and plan your days to get to maximize the time that you have out there. And of course, you need the time to do a little eating and drinking yourself. How did you begin in your mind to approach going out to such a major event?
Well, we put the drinking first.
That's my boy.
Yeah. Now, you know, I think you're right. We took some time. I went with one of our partners, Rob Cio, our pastry chef, Lucy's husband. So he went with me out there. And it kind of is a little time of kind of game planning a little bit. And we went in with a vision we're looking for. So I think if you go there wide open, you're kind of in trouble because it just you're like a kid with a you know shiny new toy. Everywhere
right.
you go is something kind of cool.
Yeah.
That was the first part, looking at certain things and making a game plan. And then kind of having some flexibility, because this year what was interesting to me was they had a couple really neat discussion topics. So they have classes you can go to.
Ooh.
And so trying to fit those in while you're looking at certain things and seeing these people and those people. And then they also had the wine and liquor kind of beverage symposium happening at the same time. So it was a lot of things all over the place.
A beverage symposium?
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's just like our Disneyland, pretty much.
So what are kind of the big themes coming out of the NRA convention this year? I mean, what's the sort of the big take-home value that you got?
Well, I think that there was two major things. One, on the technology side, just the way that people are starting to interface social media with Twittering and Facebooking and Foursquare and this new thing called Groupon, which
right.
I just learned about in Chicago. It's this really incredible way for people to gang up together and get discounts when buying things. So that was pretty incredible.
Yeah, I was following your tweets from the convention, and I saw you tweeted about the Groupon thing.
It was I was caught off guard by it, and it seems like it's something that Chicago, since it started there, it really has blown up there, and it's coming to Tucson, so we'll have to see Jack's Kitchen soon, hopefully on the Groupon. But that was pretty cool. We were there looking for a POS system for Jack's Kitchen and kind of get grown up a little bit. So
right.
That was pretty cool. I think the technology side, there are also some great little menu board things that are all digital and kind of neat. But on the food side, the biggest thing for me was the gluten-free movement was really impressive.
It's picking up, yeah.
Getting a chance to try all the different products that are gluten-free now and enjoying them, you know, which is exciting.
Yeah, so and I talk to chefs all across this community, and it seems like every day there's a new gluten-free item going on menus because, you know, unfortunately, the community in Southern Arizona that is has sort of those tolerance issues is growing, and you know, we want to do something on this show to sort of help raise awareness about that, you know, talk about where you can get great gluten-free pizza and gluten-free products. As a matter of fact, my good friend Jerry Heinze over with TucsonNightOut.com and I are going to co-host a show together that really is going to be dedicated to raising awareness about this particular issue. So I'm glad to hear, at least on the national level, that restaurateurs are becoming sensitive to this issue as well.
It's exciting, and I think we were lucky. A lot of our good friends are gluten intolerant, so we opened the restaurant kind of with our vision of if we can make it gluten-free or take one piece away, make it gluten-free, we're going to try to. And also, we're going to meet with Jerry and have a little dinner at Jack's Kitchen in July, doing a full gluten-free dinner, and it's exciting. So that was kind of fun to see also.
That's great. So you learned a lot. You know, you moved around a lot. You went on the trade show floor. You got to see all these great demos. You got to try out some new products, and then the sun started to set there in the Windy City, Brian Metzger. And then we want to hear about your adventures as you, whirled your way around downtown and what you ate and what you drank, what you liked.
Yeah, well, the good thing is the sun sets there at 4:45. So we were out spry young bucks out in the town. Being from Chicago, I have my favorites, and we hit a couple of those. But I did kind of game plan our trip, too, because, man, it's just incredible. Some highlights right off the get-go. There's a restaurant called Hub 51, which is right downtown, which just was the coolest mix of great design. It was lunchtime, jam-packed. Service was friendly, fun, and kind of casual. They had this thing called a Hub Punch, which was just ridiculous. I mean, it was just like drinking, fruit punch, but it was really, really tasty.
Yum.
So that Hub 51 was incredible. We really enjoyed a place called the Purple Pig.
I saw that in the tweet as well. Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things where I don't think everyone knows about it quite yet. They're about 4 months old, I think. And the chef, Jimmy, is just super talented. It's a kind of snout-to-tail thing. And the highlight of the meal, I have to tell you, is my first time ever having pig's ears. So crispy pig's ears with pickled peppers that were fried. It was ridiculous.
We're going to see that on the Jack's Kitchen menu anytime soon?
I'll do a little CC to the Purple Pig guys. Really cool. And I think it was just neat to see what they can do with a space. You know, we probably couldn't pull it off in Tucson, but this small space, all communal tables, and just people really enjoying the room together was pretty incredible.
That's wonderful. So, I can't imagine there's anybody here in our listening audience that has not been up to your home away from home, which
Thank
is
you.
Jack's Kitchen up on Oracle. Everybody knows one of Matt and Nancy Russell's absolute favorite restaurants in the country. Do yourself a favor. Go say hi to Brian and Sandy Metzger up at Jack's Kitchen and follow them on Twitter, because all of this great news, pig's ears and Hub Punch, and you can't get this kind of content from anybody else. We rely on Brian to bring us all kinds of good stuff. We can't wait to see you and your lovely wife and your kids up at Jack's Kitchen on Oracle here sometime soon.
Thanks, man. I love the show. You guys are incredible.
Thank you so much. Brian Metzger with Jack's Kitchen. And as a matter of fact, I want to remind our listening audience that we're actually going to have Brian in the studio here in August as part of our Tucson Original Spotlight show. I believe it's the last Thursday in August. Brian Metzger himself will be here in the studio. Now, Brian and I rarely travel together for national security purposes, so this is going to be one of the few times that Matt Russell and Brian Metzger are in the same place at the same time, if you don't catch Jack's Kitchen, which is a great restaurant. Anyway, we've got a lot of territory to cover with one of the good guys here in Southern Arizona with Papagayo Restaurant and Cantino. His name is Brian Mazzone, and he's our guest next. Stick around.
CNN Radio, I'm Stan Case. BP officials are making some adjustments in their approach to stemming the flow of oil from a well in the Gulf of Mexico. They suspended the so-called top kill effort throughout the day Thursday. The resumed effort could include shooting junk into the well to plug it. President Obama says he knows residents along the Gulf Coast are angry and frustrated about the oil leak threatening their shores.
Every day I see this leak continue, I am angry and frustrated as well.
The president says his administration's been engaged in the government response from day one. A Senate committee has approved the proposed repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the policy barring gays and lesbians from openly serving in the military. Hospital officials are not saying much about the condition of actor Gary Coleman. He's listed in critical condition in Provo, Utah. Coleman is 42 years old. He starred in the 80s situation comedy, Different Strokes. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Wall Street rebounded big time after yesterday's late swoon. The major indexes surged between 3 and 4%. More specifically, the Dow Industrials jumped 285 points. The Nasdaq climbed 82. That index now back in positive territory for the year. The S&P 500 gained 35 points. The market rocketed higher after China reassured investors it has no plans to sell its European bond holdings. The news helped send the euro higher as well. It also helped overshadow some disappointing economic news here at home. Weekly jobless claims fell less than expected, and the economy grew at a slower rate than first thought during the first 3 months of the year. Finally, China's news helped fuel a spike in oil prices. Oil surged about $3 to $74.50 a barrel. Once again on Wall Street, the Dow up 285 points. I'm Steve Orr at MarketWatch.com.
Having gout is like living on a volcano ready to erupt into a hot, fiery flare. You try to control it with medicine and diet, but while you may have fewer flares, gout still sends painful reminders of who's in charge. Put flares in their place. Go to gout.com for information and ask your doctor if there are better ways to fight for fewer flares over time by reducing the high uric acid that causes them. Maybe that painful mountain could become a molehill. Gout.com. Fight for fewer flares.
Society Bakery's Roshi Muns.
I started making cakes out of my house. Today, we have two retail bakeries and we ship nationwide. It took a lot of passion, a lot of hard work, a little bit of craziness, and a membership to Sam's Club.
Now, get a 15-week Sam's Club business membership for just $15. Join May 15th through June 6th and save on everything your business needs to succeed at members-only prices. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. 15 weeks of savings, just $15.
Piece of cake.
Sam's Club. Saving.
Discover a warm, intimate, and inviting hideaway in Midtown Tucson where you can meet people and explore new wines. At Catavinos Wine Shop and Tasting Room, located on Alvernon Way, just south of Fort Lowell, we offer more than 350 premium wines from all over the world, all priced under $15 a bottle. Each week, our wine tastings will give you the opportunity to sample a flight of wines alongside some delicious artisan cheeses. And our tasting room is the ideal venue for your next private party or special event. We also stock the latest wine accessories for making the most out of your wine experience. Finding a great bottle of wine for $30 is easy, but discovering a wonderful wine for less than $15 is an art. Let us do the work for you. Catavinos Wine Shop and Tasting Room on Alvernon, just south of Fort Lowell. Come see us today or give us a call at 323-3063. That's 323-3063.
Where's everyone meeting for the hottest dining, shopping, and nightlife in town? Main Gate Square, of course! Just west of the University of Arizona Main Gate on University Boulevard. A casual walk around the two-block square will take you to more than 50 of Tucson's most exciting restaurants, cafes, retailers, boutiques, and salons. Experience the best of international cuisine, including French, Thai, Greek, Indian, Irish, and a host of other restaurants representing virtually every corner of the globe. And when the sun goes down, Main Gate Square is the place to be for live music, dancing, wine and beer tastings, art exhibits, and other special events. And did I mention the shopping? Come see what all the buzz is about on University Boulevard between Park and Euclid. Visit www.maingatesquare.com to find out what awaits you today. By day or by night, there's always something here for everyone at Main Gate Square.
Hello, Tucson. This is Melissa D'Arabian from $10 Dinners on the Food Network, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my friend Matt Russell on AM 1330, The Jolt.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell from Russell Public Communications on a beautiful Tucson afternoon where we are flirting with 100 degrees. And when I think about the weather getting warm and when I think about the sun shining, I suddenly start thinking about margaritas. I don't know what it is about this time of year that gets me thinking about the nectar of the gods, and that is a beautiful margarita. And there are many people in this community that say that the best margarita in town is done by our guest today. His name is Brian Mazzone. He's from Papagayo Restaurant and Cantina. Brian, welcome to On the Menu Live.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hey, it's always a treat to talk to you because you know your family is so much a part of the culinary heritage of this community, and to hear your story and to hear how Papagayo evolved from this family idea into something that really is something to proclaim, because Papagayo really stands for an authentic Mexican food experience. So thank you for everything you and your family have done.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, the great thing is that people think of authentic Mexican food, and I like to tell people that, you know, we can't get any more authentic. We started in 1866 here in Tucson.
Wow. So. We'll talk a little bit about that history, about your roots here in the community, so our listeners can get a better sense of what I'm talking about.
Sure, sure. My great-great-grandfather came in to Tucson in 1866 through Mexico. He married a Ziona Molina and settled right at the end of Pennington Street, basically now where the state building is. Now, back then it was called Levine Gardens. Now, he was a Jewish pioneer and married a Ziona, and that's where our Mexican roots came from. Mm-hmm. But through the years, now five generations, we've had a restaurant in Tucson, and that does actually make us the oldest restaurant family in Arizona.
My goodness. So, you know, there are folks that actually, you know, make that claim, the longest surviving restaurant, longest surviving bar. You guys are a testament to authenticity and endurance in the culinary world.
Yeah, well, we were lucky that Tucson grew around us,
right,
and we've always been that type of restaurant where we're not in the same location that we were now, but we always moved to the outskirts of Tucson. We wanted to be a little bit different than everybody.
Sure.
So, you know, we've always been, now we're up in the foothills.
Yep.
When the first Papagayo opened in 1973, it was on the outskirts of Tucson, and that was at First and Fort Lowell.
Oh, yeah, I remember. So, I was trying to think about where that other location was. Well, let me just say, selfishly, that I'm glad you chose your location where you are now, because I can walk to Papagayo Restaurant and Cantina from my office where I work on Sunrise and Swan. So I can see your sign out of my window, and to be able to know that I'm that close to such great food. I would say margarita, but, you know, I rarely have one before 5 o'clock. But anyway, talk a little bit about Papagayo and the concept of how you bring authentic, you know, Mexican cuisine here to your guests, because people say authentic again, and it's not quite legitimate.
Well, a lot of people think authentic means a certain way of cooking. What people don't realize is that authentic Mexican food in Tucson is all family structured.
Right.
So
right.
It's different.
Right.
You know, and with the chains coming in and actually doing Mexican food.
Right.
And people moving from out of town into Tucson, that's what they're used to. And they're used to certain flavors. And the flavors of the chain Mexican food is basically cumin and curry.
Right.
You know, so then they go to, say, my restaurant or any other authentic Mexican restaurant, and they don't get that flavor. And they're like, well, how is this authentic?
Right.
Well, we're authentic to our family recipes.
Exactly.
Which is which makes all the restaurants in Tucson, Mexican restaurants, differ. And that's what's the great thing about Mexican food in Tucson.
All right, true to your roots is really what it's all about.
Correct.
And I tell you, and here's an example, because when you think about an authentic Mexican food experience, you know, you think about things like, you know, the taco, the burrito, the chimichanga, and you do those just flawlessly. But there's something up there called the milanesas del puerco. And how did I do on that, by the way? Did that roll off my tongue like...
You did just fine.
Beautiful. So you're not going to find anything like that on any other restaurant menu. Talk about that item and why that belongs on a Mexican food menu.
Well, the menu itself is created by my wife, Maria. She's a self-taught chef. She does a separate menu at Papagayo. Not only do we do the Tucson and Arizona traditional Mexican, we do more of what Mexico is going to consider traditional
exactly,
as well.
Exactly.
And besides the milanesas de puerco, we have all kinds of dishes on there. We have different soups. We have like a surf and turf kind of thing,
right?
Which is called a del asador, and it's steak and shrimp with beans, and it's more traditional to Mexico. Right. So people can come up to Papagayo and see that, you know, what the real Mexico is, not just what people are used to from the border town foods.
Exactly, right. And this puerco dish has this lovely pork chop that is lovingly dusted with this beautiful breadcrumb mixture, lightly fried in olive oil, and served with this salsa. And if memory serves, it's got this great, almost like egg roll that's stuffed with chipotle mashed potatoes.
That's exactly what it is.
I mean, I can't stand it, Brian.
That is exactly what it is.
So, again, this is what you mean by authenticity and being true to your family's roots.
Correct.
So this wonderful culinary experience that you're going to get up at Papagayo again, which is up on Sunrise and Swan. Now remember Papagayo, because we're going to be doing a trivia question here in just about 9 minutes, and you're going to be a guest of Brian Mazon if you know the answer to the question that has something to do with that restaurant. But you've also got this great cantina going on, and thank you so much for not calling it a lounge, because it's not a lounge. It's a cantina. And again, we go back to authenticity. Talk a little bit about what you're offering on the spirit side of things.
Well, spirit side of things, we have a full bar. The bar itself was an addition 3 years after the restaurant was open. Mm-hmm. We used to have just a service bar where all we did was margaritas, and we started to think, well, there's nowhere up here to sit down and actually have a drink. Right. So we added another side to the bar, or to the restaurant. And what we decided to do was actually make it more of a tequila bar, right, which was pretty unpopular back when we opened. That was just been, I don't know, maybe 20 years now,
wow.
22 years
wow.
that the bar's been there. But we decided to start off with tequilas. We put in 142 different tequilas when we first started.
My goodness.
And that was 20 years ago.
Now, did you taste all of those to decide what tequilas you wanted to showcase and what tequilas you didn't?
You know, I did not.
And 142 made the final cut.
And we had some horrible ones. There was a tequila called Tequila 2000 that actually had gold flakes in it as well.
Oh,
and it was the worst
no.
stuff in the world.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your honesty. Yeah. I mean, anything called Tequila 2000
right.
with gold flakes, you just sort of have to be skeptical. But I mean, in your pursuits of some of the great tequila experiences, and you know, you have your, I'm sure you have your sort of, you know, basic gold tequila. You've got some great you know, white tequilas and some, you know, reposados and añejos. How do you come about choosing the tequilas that earn the place on your menu?
Well, the tequilas that we put in our signature margaritas, or you know, tequilas that are the higher priced tequilas that we decide to put on shelf, because there are a lot of tequilas out there that are expensive that aren't very good at all.
Right.
But the way that we do it is, I've had years and years of experience. So basically what I do is I'll sit down and do a tasting. A lot of tequilas, I personally enjoy the flavor of tequila.
Right.
So I don't care for something that is extremely aged.
Right.
Or you know, has some sort of flavor to it. A lot of places they'll add orange or whatever.
Right.
But if it has a good tequila flavor, It will make our shelf.
And you know who's one of the community's most well-known tequila aficionados? He's hosting the next show starting at 6 o'clock, Fred Ronstadt. There are a few people in this community that know as much about tequila as Fred, and I'm sure it's after years of painstaking research, Brian.
Of course.
So anyway, course. We're going to get some great tequilas, some great margaritas, and one of the few places, I believe still, correct me if I'm wrong, where you can get a margarita by the pitcher.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
And this is one of the treats, because you know, you're bringing a big group and you want to be able to cater to those kinds of unique needs, and to be able to bring a pitcher of margaritas to the table. Again, I really don't know that anybody else is doing that in town.
I'm not sure.
I mean, yeah, again, I'm selfish. I like
we,
to have
we,
a pitcher
we
of
stick
margaritas.
To old school. I mean, we stick to old school. We haven't changed any of our recipes in over 140 years.
And you have you've got some fruit margaritas as well. You know, it's not just sort of the standard on the rocks. What are some of the fruit flavors?
We do raspberry, mango, banana, passion fruit. You can do any mix and match of those if you like. You know,
that's
some
great.
People mix the banana with the strawberry, and you know, there's all kinds of little ways to go. But my personal thing is, if you're gonna do a margarita and you want to be able to taste tequila, do it on the rocks.
You got
to
do it on the rocks. Exactly what I was just about to say. And if you want to know what one looks like, you can go to the Papagayo website and click on Cantina, and you are staring into the eyes of one of the most glorious images of a margarita I've ever seen.
That is a big boy margarita.
It's a big boy. Would you name it after me, Brian? Would you consider that? Okay.
We very well can.
So you brought in some goodies for us to eat, and I know that you guys are known sort of throughout the community community for doing all kinds of great things with Chimmies. And I know we've got some exciting news to report to our community about something else that you have up your sleeve. But take a couple of minutes to talk to us about what I'm about to enjoy.
Well, basically what I brought you guys in today was just a typical standard Mexican dish.
No, typical and standard, he says, Mark. But I mean, there's nothing typical or standard about what I'm about to eat, because look how attractive it is.
It is our mini chimmy plate, or it's an appetizer. Basically, it's six assorted mini chimmies with all the different types of meats. We do a roast beef, a carne seca, which is also called machaca, a red chili, a green chili, bean, and chicken. And with our guacamole, okay, sour cream, and fresh pico de gallo.
Yeah, and the guacamole is really, really good. And you mean that people take a risk by doing authentic guacamole here in southern Arizona, which is the mecca of guacamole, right? But I think you guys have absolutely nailed it.
Well, because all you're getting in there is avocado.
Maybe that's reality, what it is.
It's right. We do avocado, lemon juice, and I'm not scared to tell anybody. A lot of people say, well, what do you do? We just make guacamole the way it's supposed to be.
The way it's supposed to be. So keep the pomegranate zest and the gold flakes, correct, out of my guacamole,
right,
please.
Don't put cottage cheese in
No, please don't put cottage cheese and call it guacamole. If you're going to do that, move to Detroit and call it something else.
Right.
Anyway, so you've been a busy guy, Brian. I mean, you've been busy over at Papagayo, but you've been working on a project that I cannot wait to tell our listeners, and I want you to be the first to tell them what's going on in your other world.
Oh, I can't wait.
Well, tell.
All right. Well, what we're doing is we are bringing tacos to Tucson. Now, people look at me and say, what do you mean you're bringing tacos to Tucson? Well, we're doing basically a new restaurant, new concept. It's called Boca, and it's Boca tacos and tequila. But what we're doing is we're bringing you 16 types of tacos, and that is the only thing that we serve.
Really?
That is it. 16 types of tacos, ranging from octopus to your basic carne asada.
Octopus tacos. I'm in.
It's going to be something.
I'm absolutely in. How many different kinds of tequila?
We're going to start with 30, and whatever wall space we have, it will be covered with tequila.
And the place is called Boca.
Yes.
Which I think translates to mouth.
It does translate to,
right,
mouth, yes.
Because it's all about the mouth, and you're going to be putting some great things into people's mouths. Consider that as a tagline, by the way.
Yes.
But tell us exactly where it's going to be located, and when you think you're going to open to the community for the first time.
Well, we're hoping to open next week. We're thinking Wednesday. You know, hopefully Pima County Health Department is very helpful with us.
So they listen to this show. They know that this is the pulse of the Tucson food community is right here on this show. So I know they're going to meet your needs.
Right. Well, as much as we love them, you know, they're helping us make sure that everything is perfect for the customer. So
excellent.
Taking a little more extra time, hopefully next week. But we've been working on this project since April of 2009.
Wow.
It's been pretty hard for us. But we are located in the old Greasy Tony's building.
Oh, so, that I did not know.
Yeah, a lot of people are looking at me like, wow. And I'll tell you, the man held true to his name. As I said, we have been working on that building for some time.
You know, so. I mean, I'm an Arizona alum, and I cannot tell you how many hours I spent at Greasy Tony's, you know, doing cramming for finals and such. And for you to come in and keep that place sort of going, and that location is prime location.
The location.
I was worried about what was going on.
Yeah, location is beautiful. We absolutely love that location. I remember as when I was working with U.S. Food Service, that was my account. And I kept saying to myself, I want this location. You know, it would be great for us to have. And as soon as it became available, that's something that we jumped on. But like I said, we're staying true to the Greasy Tony's fashion, as we're staying open until 3 o'clock in the morning on Thursdays, Fridays, and
wonderful.
Saturdays.
Well, we salute you, Brian. So give everybody, if there happens to be one or two listeners that doesn't remember the grand days of Greasy Tony's, hit us with an exact address.
828 East Speedway.
828 East Speedway. And around mid of next week, or sometime around there, Boca is going to be open for business with great tacos, octopus tacos. And everything else that you can imagine, and some of the finest tequilas that you can find here in southern Arizona. And you'll be bouncing back and forth, I imagine, from Boca up to Papagayo.
Of course.
And then back. So something tells me you and I are going to be seeing a lot of each other here pretty soon.
Yeah, we'll be we're working it. And just for a little note, there will be tequilas up at Boca that people you know, will be a very special occasion. We're talking $200-$300 ounces of tequila.
Oh, fantastic. So that's Fred Ronstadt's all over that. I see him, right now dialing the address into his BlackBerry. Anyway, Brian is on with Papagayo, a restaurant and cantina up on Sunrise and Swan. And now of Boca, place is going to take the community by storm down there on Speedway in the old Greasy Tony's location. Go meet Brian because he's one of the great culinary characters here in this community, and you're going to have a great experience when you get to feast on the great things that began, you know, many, many, many years ago with his family. And thank you also, I should say, because this is the last Thursday of the month, this is our Tucson Originals Spotlight. Thank you for everything you do with this wonderful organization to help keep, you know, to sustain the momentum that we've created for local restaurants, independent restaurants. And again, we salute you with the work that you do with the Tucson Originals.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Everybody should learn about Tucson Originals at TucsonOriginals.com. Read about all these great local restaurants that work so hard to keep smiles on the faces of people all across Southern Arizona. So the time for the trivia question has come, and the person who calls in today with the winning answer to the question is going to be a guest of Brian Mazzone and his family up at Papagayo, which is very, very exciting. You might even see me there. Have you thought about a trivia question? I have one if you haven't. You haven't? All right, he's all over.
Right, so ahead.
Papagayo is such an iconic name in the food and spirit community here in Southern Arizona. And I bet there's somebody out there in our listening audience that knows what Papagayo means. So if you're going to translate Papagayo into an English word, what is that going to be? And if you think you know, give us a call here at 529-3508. That's 529-3508 for a chance to win a great gift card at Papagayo. What does that mean in English? Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Where's everyone meeting for the hottest dining, shopping, and nightlife in town? Main Gate Square, of course. Just west of the University of Arizona Main Gate on University Boulevard. A casual walk around the two-block square will take you to more than 50 of Tucson's most exciting restaurants, cafes, retailers, boutiques, and salons. Experience the best of international cuisine, including French, Thai, Greek, Indian, Irish, and a host of other restaurants representing virtually every corner of the globe. And when the sun goes down, Main Gate Square's the place to be for live music, dancing, wine and beer tastings, art exhibits, and other special events. And did I mention the shopping? Come see what all the buzz is about on University Boulevard between Park and Euclid. Visit www.maingatesquare.com to find out what awaits you today. By day or by night, there's always something here for everyone at Main Gate Square.
The biggest mistake in marketing and public relations is when people talk about what their products and services do, when they really should be talking about how they solve problems for their customers. That's what it takes to earn public trust in you and your organization. At Russell Public Communications, we work with clients all over the country to develop and implement effective PR strategies that earn their public's trust. Whether it's staging national press conferences, developing compelling and creative marketing campaigns, launching new products, or securing valuable media exposure, Russell Public Communications provides a depth of industry knowledge and real-world experience that is second to none. Find out how to put a Madison Avenue twist on your marketing campaign without leaving Tucson. Visit www.russellpublic.com or call us today at 232-9840. That's 232-9840. Russell Public Communications. Creative campaigns that connect, compel, and convert.
The Danish wine sensation Svend Wine has arrived in North America. Whether you're a devoted wine enthusiast or a casual wine drinker, enhance every wine experience with Svend Wine. Relying on European technology, Svend Wine maximizes the potential of every wine by aerating and decanting in one simple step. By circulating your wine through Svend Wine's patented helix, the wine's full potential is instantly realized. From your 1972 Chateau Lafite to your supermarket find, Svend Wine brings every bottle to life. There's no need to agonize over hours of decantation or grow frustrated with messy aerating devices. Simply attach Svend Wine to your bottle and taste the difference. Pick up your Svend Wine online at svendwine.com. That's www.svendwine.com. Svend Wine, think outside the bottle.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell with a full mouth of mini chimmies of every kind of meat, shredded, diced, sliced, that you can imagine, with this beautiful homemade guacamole and this beautiful pico de gallo that has been brought into the studio by one of the good guys in Tucson, Brian Maison, with Papagayo Restaurant and now soon to be Boca Restaurant down on Speedway. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
So we're having a good time talking to Brian about the Tucson Originals and about family history and culture and heritage and how that translates into some of the best Mexican food that you can get here in Southern Arizona. So we salute you and your family. And you're going to invite some people up to your restaurant to experience for themselves what we mean by this authenticity by taking a couple of calls here. People think they might know the answer to the trivia question was, what does the word papagayo mean? And we've got a man named Tom on the line who thinks he's confident enough to give it a shot. Tom, welcome to On the Menu Live.
Hello.
How are you doing, Tom?
I'm really, really well. Now I'm really hungry.
Well, wish you were joining us right here in the studio. It's a party, but Brian didn't bring margaritas, so we need to make sure that the contract language specifies next time that you need to bring some margaritas. But anyway, enough about that. So, Tom, have you been up to Papagayo before, my friend?
Up on Skyline, yes.
Up at Sunrise and Swan, absolutely. So you might know what papagayo means. Give it a shot, Tom.
It means macaw parrot.
Done.
So says the judge. He says yes. Tom, congratulations. Wow. So you're going to be able to enjoy a great culinary experience up at Papagayo Restaurant and Cantina. You're going to be able to taste some of these world-class margaritas that we've been talking about. Sink your teeth into some of the great, you know, pork and chicken and beef and these mini chimneys. I mean, this is something exciting that we're going to be offering to you, Tom.
Thank you very much.
So what I want you to do is I want you to stay on the line because Mark is going to get all your information, and it will be my pleasure to send that gift card to you in the mail. But do me a favor. When you go into Papagayo, I want you to ask for Brian Maison by name because you'll want to meet this guy and have a drink with him.
Excellent. Great. Thank you very much.
Tom, thanks for listening to On the Menu Live. So Papagayo means macaw parrot.
Well, it's a loose translation, yep. Yes. I mean, if you were to translate it for... directly, you'd be talking head rooster.
Head rooster, right, right.
But basically, it means big guy on the block.
That's right.
If you think about it, basically, you know, my grandfather started the restaurant. He thought, well, you know, what's going to stand us out a little bit more than anyone else? And you know what? We'll just be the big guy on the block. So here we are. We're Papagayo.
And I think you've earned your bragging rights now. You know, you're sitting at the top of the hill,
correct.
You know, looking down and inviting people up. So do you adorn the setting with parrots or anything like that?
Well, you know, we've changed our decor every now and then. You know, you have to keep it fresh. We actually went from the tropical type of decor a couple years back to more of a rustic, with beautiful crosses,
nice.
And candle lit and we do the best we can with where we are. We would love to have a new building, but we happen to be inside of a shopping center, and it's a little more difficult. A lot of people feel that dining in Tucson now, I mean, it's more in a freestanding building type of thing, and they overlook the little shopping center guys.
Right.
But I'll tell you guys, when you overlook those shopping center guys, you're missing out some of the best stuff.
You're not doing yourself a service. Yeah,
correct.
So your Papagayo Restaurant, which is up on the northeast side of the intersection there at Sunrise and Swan, do yourself a favor. Brian Maison, thank you so much for coming to join us on the Menu Live.
Anytime.
I can't wait to see you down there at Maison. So a big thanks to Brian Maison over at Boca, I should say, and a big thanks out to our good friend Brian Metzger of Jack's Kitchen, who gave us all the latest restaurant trends coming out of the National Restaurant Association Conference, and of course the lovely Yvonne Fouché, who's hosting her special wine tastings tonight, Friday night and Saturday night from 4 to 8 p.m., and you need to get over there and make a new friend and see what everybody's talking about over there at Catavinos. If you missed any part of this show, I want to remind you that the entire broadcast will run again on Saturday at 12 noon right here on AM 1330 The Jolt. In the meantime, this is Matt Russell reminding you, if it's Thursday at 5... it's On the Menu Live. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Local talk at its best.
Real talk is what this is.
AM 1330, KJLL, South Tucson.